Hello, this is Rochelle from Tip Tap Tip.
Hey, and this is Eric. We're on vacation right now in Mexico, but you're thinking to yourself, well, if you're on vacation, how are some shows going to come to us? Because you're not here, and I'm really worried. And It's magic. You know why it's magic? Because we're thinking 12 steps ahead. What we've done is I've taken some of our, you know, some shows that we really like from the past.
And we picked the goodies.
The good ones that we like. And we're giving you a chance to kind of re-listen. If you're new to the show, you might not have heard them. But if you're old to the show, hey, why not hear them again? So we're throwing them in the thing, and you can hear them, and it's great. Another thing not to forget is what, Rochelle?
The song contest.
That's right. We got the Tip Tap Tip song contest coming up. We've got some great entries coming in.
But we want more.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah, we want more. Just a reminder, what it is we have our theme song, which you hear at the beginning of every show. You remix, you remake, or you reimagine it, and you send the MP3 file to info@tiptaptip.com, and get some pretty neat stuff. We've described the prizes in the previous episodes, but so you'll listen back and hear what they are.
You just get magic in the mail.
It's magic. So we're going to be back. We're going to be back soon with episode 200 once we come back from our vacation. So in the meantime, enjoy some of our older shows, and we'll catch up with you later.
And don't forget about the live show that we will be doing on December 1st at the Auburn.
That's right.
If you live in Calgary, please come. It should be fun.
That's right. Tip Tap Tip Live with some other great Calgary podcasters at the Auburn Saloon. December 1st, it's a Wednesday at 6 p.m. onwards, so do it. Be there. Support the things that we do.
That's it.
All right.
We're gone.
Have fun, and we'll catch you when we're back from vacation. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle, and this is another episode of Tip Tap Tip.
Did I say that again?
Yet another
episode. And another and another and another. I think this is number 32. Regardless, 206-208-3918. Guess how many messages we got this time on our voice.
You have zero new voicemail messages and zero saved messages.
And I know I didn't play it last time, but as promised, all it takes is one person to dial one number and tell us to fuck off. And until then...
Cool. This message is for Rochelle. It's Sean. We met a while back at Ajo Bajo. We'll ask casually about how you didn't have any Scottish in you. Let's rectify that. You've still got my card. Call me.
That's right.
Yeah, the good thing is I still like that message. So
I know. Anyways, 206-208-3918 is our comment line. Give us a call. Make that thing stop. You can drop us an email, info@tiptaptip.com. Now, I'm going to get right to the crazy shit, which happened to me yesterday, actually. I didn't tell you this because I was saving it for the show. But
that's why you don't talk to me.
This is the only time we actually ever communicate is on the show. And when the show's not... When the show's not on, we just kind of like mumble at each other and going, are you done with that? Don't touch me.
Yep.
But anyways...
Don't touch me. Oh, I'm touching you.
I was walking back from lunch, I was getting a beverage at the Shoppers Drug Mart near my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking back, you know, it was kind of crappy out yesterday, and there's this bus bench, which is in front of, I guess we're near that bike shop used to be. And I was walking by, and I see this one guy sort of sitting on the bench, you know, fairly normal-looking guy. And I'm walking closer and closer, and you know, he's reading a magazine or whatever, right? And I'm walking closer and closer, and I realize the guy is looking at some fucking hardcore pornography in the middle of the fucking day, sitting by himself. No, this is for real. Like, and it wasn't like a Playboy. It wasn't like, you know, it was like some pretty hardcore shit, right? You know, I was walking by, but I'm like, you can tell that, you know, the difference between like a Playboy and something something else.
So you just, like, peeked over the bench?
No, because, you know, the bench is faced one way, and I'm walking by, and he has his magazine open.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand it, because he's like, he just did not give a shit. Like, you know, and it was just some hardcore, like...
Well, at least he wasn't jerking off while looking at it.
Not when I was looking at him, at least. But it was really weird, because it was the middle of the day. He just kind of... He looked like a, you know, a fairly nondescript gentleman. And just looking at weird... I almost kicked myself for not saying anything, you know. And obviously, in situations like these, you always think of the most clever things to say after the fact.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was going to say, what... What, they're out of the fast forward? but again, I don't know. Have you ever encountered sort of weird shit like that? Like weirdos kind of...
There was this one salon that I was working at.
Yeah.
And the guy that I worked with there, he told me that somebody, you know, like you put the cape on the person and you can't see what they're doing with their hands.
Oh, no. I know where this is headed.
Yeah, and so he was actually playing with himself while the guy was cutting his hair.
But you can... That's... Because you can still... There's going to be movement, detectable movement.
Yeah, I know, but, like, some people, like, you don't know what they're doing, right? They could be just, like, moving their hands, or sometimes people are, like, holding their glasses or something.
Yeah.
Because after I heard that, I mean, he just told me, but I didn't see it.
You're like, all right, hands where I can see them, asshole.
Yeah.
On the fucking armrest.
But the thing is, if you sit with your hands, oh, you're going to get hair all over them, so.
Yeah, better than hair than jizz, I suppose.
Yeah.
Hair jizz on your chair.
Gross.
Yep. PG rated. PG-13 this show is.
Let's say it's R-rated.
R-rated. Yeah, we're trying...
I don't know. Have you ever had anything else happen where...
That situation totally weirded me out, because it was just...
Yeah.
It was just so... You know, because the way humans work is, you know, there's these sort of rules.
But they're like unwritten rules.
And when something just is... Kind of falls out of that. Your brain is not really wired to deal with it. And I'm just like, do I say something? Do I not say something? I'm like, I just keep on walking and, like... I don't know what to do. It was really, really weird.
I walked past, I remember, I think I was really young. I was maybe like 16, 17 or something.
Yeah.
And I was walking down White Ave in Edmonton, which is, you know, like one of the funky sort of streets. And I think it was...
You know what? I should have given that guy a fucking card. It's like,
I don't really want people like him listening to our show.
No, no. Give him a card, go... We're going to be talking about you next episode.
Yeah.
And just let him deal with it.
So I'm like walking down one avenue. I think it was during the Fringe Festival, which is like an arts and drama sort of festival. And there's this one park that has a gazebo, and it's kind of like the pothead park. Like people go there and smoke up and stuff. And I was walking by, and there's these people just like doing it.
In the middle of the day?
In the middle of the park. No, it was nighttime, but...
This was
I mean, like, what do you say? Hey, stop it.
This was at quarter, like 11:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
Light out, 4th Ave, lots of people walking back and forth.
I've seen a lot of, like, nearby the old salon, I saw a lot of guys just taking a piss.
It's not a sketchy, he wasn't a sketchy guy, though. He was just like,
But some of these guys that are just taking a piss randomly, they're not sketchy, they're just wasted.
He wasn't wasted, he was just going about his business. He didn't look drunk at all. He looked perfectly within his capacities.
Yeah, but that's what they look like, those super normal guys. Those are the ones who are into, like, the really kinky shit.
Yeah, well, fucking keep that in your house.
Yeah, but that's probably what turned him on, was the fact that he was looking at it in broad daylight.
And maybe he was wanting to get a reaction, and that was his...
I think it's kind of like the whole thing, like, getting caught.
It's fucking people. Seriously.
So if you would have said anything to him, then you would have turned him on. Ew.
Ooh, he would have been like, hey, he would have been like,
he's like, what? Are you going to spank me?
Been like, I've been caught.
Ew.
All right.
Okay, I have to say one more thing.
All right.
So, like, you know how you're talking about, like, just weird situations and how, you always think about good things to say afterwards. Mm-hmm. And one situation that I had that I actually said something right at that time.
Oh, really?
Pretty happy about myself. So yeah. I'm like, it was in Kensington, and I'm standing at the train station, and you know, there's one side and then there's tracks and then there's the other side for the other stop. And these guys, these kids started, picking a fight with this one guy.
Yeah.
So it was like three guys and one guy, and they started picking a fight with him. And there were, you know, there were maybe like 10 other people standing around the station, and nobody said anything. Nobody, everybody was just quiet and just tried to ignore it.
Okay, yeah.
But it was pretty obvious what was happening. Like, this kid was going to get
the shit kicked out of him. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I got to do something. And like, I didn't have a cell phone then. You know, so I thought, well, if I had a cell phone, I could yell at them and tell them, okay, I'm going to call 911 on you. You better stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm thinking about this. I'm like, well, they don't know if I have a cell phone or not. So I just yelled at them and I told them that I'm going to call 911 on them if they don't stop fighting.
And did they run away?
They didn't run away. They yelled at me, but they stopped what they were doing.
They said, you stupid, blah, 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 yeah. blah. I'm like, tell it to the fucking cops, jerk off.
Well, and then the train came, and I was like, whatever.
All right, whatever.
But I was pretty glad that I actually, like, tried to do something, you know? Mm-hmm. Save the day.
Save the day with your quick thinking. Election time is coming up, and I know you don't give a fuck, but this...
No, actually, you know, like, after watching that one debate that was on TV, I actually am starting to give a fuck, so...
All right. But, this is...
Because I want to make sure that your favorite party is not voted in again.
Anyways, this is a... Because there's been a lot of sort of talk lately about artists being sort of upset about, you know, arts funding. And this is an article I printed out sort of describing the situation. Artists across Canada united in protest against cuts to arts funding on Monday. A series of Cross Canada performances dubbed the... Wrecking Ball had been organized to draw attention to the $45 million in arts funding cut recently made by the federal Conservatives. Events were planned in Toronto, Victoria, Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Ottawa, Montreal, Halifax, and Corner Brook, Newfoundland. All right. Celebrated playwright Judith Thompson and writer Michael Turner of the book Hardcore Logo and media personality Bill Richardson were among those who contributed material. In Ottawa, artists gathered outside of a gallery to protest against government. I think it's absolutely stupid, said Ottawa artist Russell Uristi, 72 years old. Art brings in money, and I can't believe they, the government, are that stupid. But I'm kind of glad because it won't help them get a majority. So a lot of people are sort of upset. I'm kind of like, you know, obviously, you know, this is something that we can discuss on the show. But my opinion is, you know, as an art school graduate, mind you, as a person who's been through the 4+ years of art school, mm-hmm. my take on it is, and I don't know if you can agree with me or not, but I find that there seems to be a lot of sense of entitlement. Like, they deserve money. They deserve money. They deserve money. Which, you know, I'm not at all opposed to arts funding. But one thing that you have to keep in mind is that, well, first of all, over the last little while, the economy, both the U.S. and then... and Canadian economy have been taking a shit kicking, and you know, sometimes things are going to have to be cut because and it's tough decisions to be made, but you know, things are going to be cut across the board, and arts funding happens to be one of them. I don't think that arts funding should be placed in this protective bubble and shouldn't be at all considered to be cut, regardless of how well or how bad, in the case of how the economy's been doing over the last few weeks, it's been doing. Like, you know, had the Liberal government been in power, or had the Liberal government won the last election, and, you know, and had they, you know, them having to deal with the you know, them having... Sorry, I'll let you respond in, like, 2 seconds.
No, I'm just listening.
And them having to deal with the economy in the way that it is, you know, they could either cut funding to, you know, cut some funding to the arts, obviously not completely by any government, or, you know, or they could raise taxes, you know, which in order to make up the money. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm kind of torn on the issue as well because, I met a person who had a show at the, you know, like the plus 15 walkway or whatever.
Sure.
When I had a show. And the show that I did, I funded myself.
Yeah.
With the help of my parents.
Yeah.
To buy the, like, my dad bought the paint, mm-hmm. basically. And this girl who had an installation across the hallway from me had received a grant.
Mm-hmm.
And her work was awful.
It was
performance video work. And like, incredibly stupid. I could not believe that she received funding. And then I noticed a ring on her finger that was really nice. And I was like, oh, that's a beautiful ring. Like, you know, it looked really expensive and had like a huge stone on it. Like it was probably a $200 ring at sure. least, right? And she's like, oh yeah, I bought this with my grant money.
Yeah, but you have to understand, like, I'm not opposed to grants when they're private grants by like the such and such foundation or whatever. When it's something that somebody has set up, like, you know, yeah. a private person has set up, and they're, you know, great if you can get that, fantastic. You know, but you know, in case of like, you know, the Canada Council, the Alberta Foundation for the Arts, et cetera, you know, when economic times are tough, you know,
everybody's getting hit.
Everybody's getting fucked. And, like, you know, it's not just the artists. And, you know, and
I think the reason why I don't really like it is because artists struggle, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's always hard. Whether the economy is good or whether the economy is bad, artists are always struggling. So it's not fair to take away from people who are already struggling.
Yeah, like let me sort of,
like,
put
take it away from the, like, the super rich people.
Let me sort of put,
you know, all these like oil dudes in Calgary. Fuck, they could, you know, stand to lose a bit of cash.
Let me sort of put the economic situation. All
these people driving Hummers and shit.
I hate Hummers. You know, like, I personally, my opinion is I hate Hummers. I think they're kind of tasteless vehicles, and usually the jerks that drive them are total douchebags. But at the same time, who am I to tell, like, you know, who am I to say how, you know, somebody who's earned their money should spend their money, right? You know, I think it's stupid. You know, but anyways, back.
So can't they just, like, tax the super rich people and then still keep the arts money?
No, that's the way that the taxes work right now. Like, you know, there's graduated taxes depending upon how much you make. The more you make, the more percentage you contribute. Like, you know, that's the way it works right now. Like the yeah, richest people, the people making, earning the most money. I think I can't remember the exact percentage or whatever, the highest, say, 5% of earners in the country pay about 75% of all taxes, which
I'm fine with that.
But the point I'm trying to make is
it's not like these people are, I mean, they just have either inherited wealth or
no. The point I'm trying to make is how is that an incentive for somebody who starts out on the bottom, you know, who starts out, like, you know, with a real sort of entrepreneurial spirit to try and make money for themselves, because they understand the more successful they are, the more money gets taken away from them. So, like, case in point, there's a certain point in which the amount of money you make, like, say you're making just underneath a certain tax bracket, but as soon as you make, like, say, a few dollars more per paycheck, you're actually getting taxed more, and you're subsequently getting actually less money because you're getting more taxes taken off than if you were to actually be getting paid less.
Yeah, but there's probably things that you can do, you know, like put your money in stocks or bonds or whatever to Or put half of it in a bank in Sweden, and then the government doesn't know about it.
Speaking of European banks, I'll put the economic situation in very sort of scary perspective.
I just listened to that podcast, American Life.
No. The country of Iceland has declared bankruptcy. The country of Iceland.
Holy shit.
It's about this close to be declaring bankruptcy. They've frozen all their stock markets. All the banks have been nationalized by the country. They have no money. They have no money at all.
See, I don't really understand that, because the country is they make money.
Yeah, but if they have,
they actually make the paper money. Why don't they just make more?
Because inflation, right? The same thing happened in.
Stuff that
you can print money, but then all of a sudden your loaf of bread is worth $10,000 to buy it. But it's just a number. It really doesn't mean anything unless you have something sort of behind it.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I think the reason why all of this
back to artist funding.
Okay. Can I just say, I think the reason why all of this financial stuff is happening is because for the amount of money that people have, say if you have $1 million or whatever, you don't actually have $1 million.
It's just
a number that is in the bank, and the bank actually doesn't have that amount of money.
Yeah, it's also sort of weird, imaginary.
That's the problem, is that all of this credit and all of this numbers that are actually not physical money, and because all these people are getting concerned about their retirement savings, they're getting concerned about all their stocks. Everybody's pulling out of everything, and they're trying to get their physical money.
But
the physical money does not exist.
But the thing is, the problem is once people start pulling out, that's when banks start collapsing, right?
Yeah.
Same thing happened to the Depression, right? The problem is because there's not really anything behind money to give it a real amount. At one point in time, there was what they call a gold standard, all right? Meaning that the amount of money that the United States had was equal to the amount of gold, physical, hold in your hand gold, that was that the United States kept in Fort Knox, right? So there was always something that it,
equal to,
basically, right? So, anyways, this whole...
I don't know. I think it makes sense to me that this is happening, because for myself, I've never relied on credit.
Yeah. Well,
so you purchase anything. For me, it's you got to have the money. If you're going to get something, you actually physically have to have the money to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a bit of a,
and I've never trusted that system.
Yeah.
Also, because credit cards just rape you.
Yeah. They really interest. Do fuck me on interest, but, they are handy to have.
Yeah, but see, I have you, and you have a credit card, so...
Yeah, but I really don't use it except for, dinner the other day, and that I can't think of the other time I used it before that.
U-Haul.
Well, tomorrow. That's just a number they have on file, but that's...
But anyway.
Anyways, back to the original topic of arts funding, which we totally went off on a big fucking economic tangent.
I don't think that Stephen Harper actually understands what the arts is. When he responded with that one question, he's like, "Well, I play a little piano here and there."
Well, here's the, sort of the controversial quote, which got a lot of people up in arms and sort of a unified people sort of against that. And he said, I don't remember exactly when he said it, but he said, I think when ordinary working people come home, turn on the TV and see a gala of a bunch of people, at a rich gala, all subsidized by taxpayers claiming their subsidies aren't high enough when they know that those subsidies have actually gone up. I'm not sure that's something that resonates with ordinary people. This is what he, said last month in Saskatchewan. So what he's I guess based on that quote, a lot of people are thinking that his perception of artists are just sort of people who go to these sort of events and are always asking for money, which I don't know. I've been to a lot of openings and I've seen a lot of the schmoozing going on. But, you know, that's just my own perception. Like, you know, like,
yeah, but when I was doing my practicum for a gallery, the amount of money that they got from the Alberta Foundation for the Arts and from Canadian Council for the Arts was such a small amount.
Yeah.
The most money that they got was from their 2 days that they would volunteer at the casino, mm-hmm. and they would get a certain amount of profits from that night in the yeah. casino. Mm-hmm. That's when they got the most money.
Yeah. But
everything else, nothing.
Yeah, because, from what I've seen, oftentimes people went... It would usually be a combination of things. It would be a combination of their own money, and any monies that they've raised from, like, personal, like, you know, patrons of the arts, that plus a grant, plus, you know, it would be a whole bunch yeah. of shit sort of cobbled together to make...
I mean, you know what would kind of solve this problem is the fact that, you know, the artist-run centers are non-profit, so they can't actually sell anything. They're not allowed to sell anything to make money because it's a non-profit. Because
they have that non-profit status.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they made it so that galleries can actually sell work, I mean, they like some of them have auctions.
Yeah.
Where they're selling work. So I don't know how that works.
I
guess it's more like it's a fundraiser or whatever. But because a commercial gallery is a self-sustaining gallery, like they don't get money from, you know, the government.
No, like, you know,
they sell work. To
they keep they the gallery, have a product they
and
sell
the
a
artists
product.
Make money from those
yeah
from those sales
yeah they have a product they sell a product and yeah that's that
and personally like I don't know the last couple shows I went to at artist run centers I've just you know I was glad I was high because I just was able to laugh out loud at it
high on
it
life
so bad
high on life because
fucking like people dressed up as clowns standing in the corner and then there was this like aquarium sort of thing but it was a bed. Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah.
All right. So now we're gonna go from our highbrow talk to our lowbrow talk. Here's a story about monkeys who are awaiting staff in a tavern in Japan.
And now on to an unusual tip to fight off a business crisis. A Japanese tavern owner is bringing up a new generation of customer-pleasing waiters, macaque monkeys. You ready for some monkey business?
Oh, we are! Fucking monkey business and they're monkeys. That's fucking funny. All right, let's go.
Okay, go.
This sake house in northern Tokyo employs two popular and unusual waiters. They are named Yachan and Fuku-chan and are a pair of Japanese macaque monkeys.
So cute. Oh, they're wearing little monkey pants and a monkey shirt.
Aww.
All right.
4-year-old Fuku-chan has already 2 years of experience under his furry belt. His main duty is delivering hot towels to customers before they order their drinks.
Yachan first learned by watching me working in the restaurant. It all started one day when I gave him a hot towel out of curiosity, and he brought the towel to the customer.
Both monkeys are well appreciated by customers who tip them with boiled soybeans.
The monkeys are actually better waiters than some really bad human ones.
Probably better ones than some of the ones I've had.
Yat-chan is a natural and is always eager to please his customers.
These guys are really adorable. They're like my kids. Well,
my kids look like monkeys.
Actually better. My son doesn't listen to me, but Yat-chan will.
And customers are impressed that Yat-chan understands their order.
We called out for more beer just then, and it brought us some beer, right? It's amazing how it seems to understand human words.
Both monkeys were once household pets, but now they are certified restaurant employees. The monkey pair work in shifts of up to a maximum of 2 hours a day due to animal rights regulations. And so their employer is now ready to train 3 new baby monkeys this year. He hopes to bring up a new generation of Japanese waiters and waitresses.
There we go.
Well, that's cheap labor. Feed them, tip them in soybeans.
I wonder if we could do the same thing with our cats.
No.
I don't know if they...
Cats are
cat, get me a beer. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Cat, get me a beer. Lick, lick, lick. Cat, get me a beer. Hiss, hiss.
Puke.
Puke. shit, smell my shit, cat, get me a beer. Sleep. All right, fuck off.
Cats can't walk anyway. They wouldn't be able to hold the beers. See, monkeys are
those basically... Those fucking monkeys were... They were walking on their... they were walking quite well on 2 feet.
Yeah, that's they're what they do. They're like almost human, right? They just need a thumb.
Almost human. They do what?
They just need a thumb.
They do have a thumb. Monkeys have opposable thumbs.
Okay, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's why
they're... What the fuck are you talking about?
No, but they don't have as many fingers as people, though, right? Do they?
Yes, they have the exact amount of fingers and thumbs.
You know, I've never seen a monkey, so I don't know.
They do have, I think their large toes are opposable, so they can use them like hands.
Oh, wow. That would be awesome. I wish I could do that with my feet.
Yeah, all right. I can pick up a pencil with my foot, but I can't really do much more than that.
I'm sure you could probably, like, train yourself to do something like that.
Oh,
like,
I saw that movie with Daniel Day-Lewis, My Left Foot. You could do pretty good with that one thing.
What's that about?
This guy who's,
doesn't have hands?
No, he's, you know, it's been years and years and years since I've seen it. I think he has had, like, polio or some sort of disease where basically he lost, like, most of the mobility in his body except for his left foot. And then I think he was really good at, like, soccer, being a goalkeeper. Yes, and he's really good at, I don't know, it's been years since I've seen that.
Mm. I've never seen it.
Anyways, here's a story about a woman who was not... What?
I'm just going to check the...
Oh, I should explain. We're just in the midst of making dinner here. Rochelle's just going to check on it, make sure that it's not burnt, and that it doesn't completely suck. And how's it doing, baby? It's doing good?
Good.
All right. Do we need to turn it down? Do we need to do anything?
No.
All right. Do. Well, I'm going to play some bumpers and stuff while we're waiting for Rochelle.
Making your good times, you.
You know we're doing a show, right? You know we're like right in the middle of a show and,
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I spilled the potatoes.
Okay.
Read the thing.
All right, Blonde sues L'Oreal over brown dye. Woman says dye ruined her hair, but judge gives her the brush off. All right. Sorry, I was trying to find that sound here. A Connecticut judge has given the brush off to a blonde woman's lawsuit, claiming L'Oreal Incorporated ruined her social life when she accidentally dyed her hair brunette with one of its products. How do you accidentally? The box.
They put the wrong color.
Okay, we'll see where let's see where this story is going. Now, are you going to come back to the table, baby? Because yeah. I can't. You coming? All right. Kitty, go away. Charlotte Feeney of Stratford says she can never return to her natural blonde hue. A shock that left her so traumatized she needed antidepressants.
Whoa.
What a fucking crazy bitch.
Yeah.
It's just a fucking hair color. Calm the fuck down.
And you can change it from brown to blonde. It's just going to fry it.
You should know.
But it is possible. She'll just have to cut some of her hair off.
Yeah, because it'll be all fried to shit. She says she suffered headaches and anxiety, missed the attention that blondes receive, and had to stay home and wear hats. Well, just fucking dye it black, bitch. Seriously.
You know, she's just fishing for some money.
Oh, she's just being...
Obviously. I mean, either that or she has extremely bad self-esteem and she relies on her blonde hair.
Yeah, because blondes have more fun and, you know what?
Which is actually, you know, redheads have probably just as much fun as blondes.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
A Superior Court judge dismissed Feeney's 2005 lawsuit Monday. So this has been in the court system for 3 years. Seriously, lady?
Whoa.
Seriously, lady? 3 years? Because, you know, in 3 years' time, your hair could grow back, go you could grow back all your
definitely
and get
and you know what, I'm sorry, but if you purchase color from a drugstore and you have absolutely no knowledge of coloring hair, you know, you're like, you're not a hairstylist, yes, bad things are gonna happen. I mean, I've seen people come in with like the nastiest hair colors, and it's because they don't know what the fuck they're buying. They just buy the box because it's $10 instead of going to a salon where it's like $100, but you're gonna get what you want from the salon, right? It's
fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Superior Court judge dismissed her 2005 lawsuit Monday, saying she never proved her allegation that L'Oreal put brown hair dye in a box labeled as blonde. You know what? They very well could have done that. Stuff happens, but still.
Yeah.
Calm the fuck down, lady. Seriously. It's just your fucking hair.
I mean, I would be pissed off. I would. But not point of suing the company.
Let me see. Let me think of some really hot, you know, brunettes. Angelina Jolie, not a blonde. Salma Hayek, not a blonde. Like, you know, let me see of all the...
There's lots of people, and even people that have
Tori been blonde. Spelling, blonde.
Yeah.
Britney Spears, blonde. All right.
Britney Spears had brown hair when she was younger. Jessica Simpson usually has blonde hair, but she's had brown. Cameron Diaz went brown that one year, and everybody wanted her their hair brown.
Yeah, seriously.
Victoria Beckham, brown.
Yeah.
Now, she used to be blonde. Now she's brown. She's still hot. Like, it doesn't matter what your hair color is. If you're hot, you're hot.
Fucking.
That's it.
Feeney referred questions on Wednesday to her attorney, David Lodano, who declined to comment. Fucking people. Seriously. Three years this fucking case was in the court system. Years.
That is such a waste of money and a waste of time.
Okay, I'm sure she's asking.
Like, can't they just, you know, stuff like that? Can't lawyers just be like, no, you're fucking psycho. Go get some psychiatric help.
Christ.
I don't know.
Ah, damn it. Damn it. Here's a video of some guy demonstrating some self-defense moves. This is Baz Rutten, B-A-S, last name R-U-T-T-E-N. Apparently he kicks some ass. But, yeah.
Let me tell you first that I've been around. I've been a bouncer for many, many years. Bang, bang, bang. It's a street fight. Never look away from your opponent. Look, sir, I really don't want anything of this. And I go whoop, like this, and I slit your throat, and it's over and out. Everybody underestimates the kick in the groin.
I do. This guy's fucking awesome. He likes to go bang, bang. He likes to really make the sound effects because he totally gets into it. He could totally kick
my ass. He's German, isn't he?
I think he's actually a Dutch. Rutten? His last
sounds,
name?
Yeah, but Das is Bass.
B-A-S.
Oh, that sounds German to me.
I don't know.
Boom, that's the first thing to do. I follow up, bang, bang, bang. Right bang. Away after that, dang it, dang it, dang. See what I'm doing? Boom, that's the left elbow right there. I can also deliver, bang, headbutt out of nothing. Boom, the right elbow, bang, right straight.
Bing, kick to the balls, pow, poke to the fucking eyeball.
I like that dang, dang.
Boom, dicka, bang, bang, bang. All right.
Maybe now the headbutt comes, knee to the face, and looky, look what we got here. Smack his face, smack his face, create distance, and grab a chair. You can slam it into his face, you can stab with it, and while I throw it at him, I will kick him in the groin, boom, right straight, gonna bounce his head on the table 10 times or something. Don't you ever do this. Right away you say, okay, I'm sorry. Bang, bang, bang. No, I'm not. And he comes in. Boom, kick.
Boom, okay, I'm sorry.
Boom.
No, I'm not.
Simultaneously, the elbow in the head, grab his wrist, grab your own wrist, and bend his arm.
I gotta say, this guy's fucking awesome. I'm gonna be putting the link to this video.
It kind of sounds like his accent is actually Dutch now that you say it, yeah.
I'm gonna be putting the link to this video when I... on our episode links. Yeah, check it out. This guy's...
Yeah, I would not want to run into him. He looks scary.
Maybe he was
he's
just...
He's got a shaved head, and he's like
He's just a big guy, shaved head.
Yeah.
And maybe he wouldn't actually beat you up. Maybe he just would go up to you and like make like fake punching noises and go, bang, bang, boom.
No.
Kick to the groin.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I think he would actually beat the shit out of you.
All right.
I control him, you see? Knee in the head, I can bounce him against the wall, everything I want to do. We grab, but just to make sure, we grab this arm also. Now we're in total control. He tried to kill me, so I gotta return him the favor. I step underneath here, and now I'm controlling him with my head, and I can stab his own knife here in the liver. Stab in the liver. Watch.
Stab in the liver. This guy's rat.
I'm grabbing the inside of his hand like this. One, two. Support his elbow. I can, of course, kick him in the head. I really want to be... I can put my knee on.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
Never, ever let him take that choke. Because if you're out, God knows what they're going to do with you. He's choking me and he's going to lift me up. Huh? I'm loose. Okay. One. Kick to the knees. Or maybe... heel to the balls, heel to the balls, and I can lean forward, and go back with a headbutt to the head. Kick to the leg, heel to the groin, all the way going like this, and come back with a headbutt to the side.
Oh, that's
somebody's
good.
Somebody's telling
totally
me
that, one.
That about my wife. I'm sorry, sir, but I'm going to break your leg. I grab his toes, and then I'm going to go like that. This knee will be shattered. He gets your arm, you break it, bang, right straight. Or he grabs it again, go out, bang, left straight. Pushing down as hard as I can, I make a turn, and you see I got an arm bar on him. Boom, kick in the groin, bang, right straight.
Wrong see, everything's
move.
Like a kick
don't
in
do
the
that
groin.
To
kick
El Wapo.
In the groin.
Block, rep, boom, strike, boom, elbow. Once he's down, boom, knee to the head. I'm grabbing his arm. It's full power. I hit his wrist. This is a wrist lock right here. I pull it. Ow! 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 Bang, bang, bang. And you know it.
Bang, bang, bang. Yes.
Yeah.
That guy's awesome.
I took like a self-defense class one time.
Did you?
Yeah.
What?
And it ended with, if you don't remember any of these moves...
Kick him in the balls.
Just kick him in the balls.
That's true.
Yeah.
You even grazed that thing the wrong way, and I'm like... Very sensitive area. Very sensitive area. Just be gentle.
I'm just glad I've never been in a situation where I've had to use that.
Bong, bong, bong. Kick to the balls.
I don't, like, could you think that you could actually, like, punch somebody?
If there's... It,
no, know, but, like, do you think that if you punch somebody, it would actually be hard enough?
I don't know, but I'd certainly get their attention. I'm sure of it. But I've never been in a situation where I've had to do that. You know.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into a situation like that, but...
I want a punching bag.
No.
Oh, wait. Are you volunteering?
I'm not being volunteering to be your punching bag. Damn it.
I think that'd be fun.
Not being your punching bag. Here's a story about a chaplain in London who has an opinion about homosexuals. The chaplain...
The bad opinion?
It says gay men should have sodomy warning tattoos. This is what he says. The chaplain to the London Stock Exchange is under pressure to quit today after demanding gay men should be forced to have sodomy warning tattoos tattooed on their bodies. All right, I'm sure he has some opinions about the Jews and some yellow stars they should
like,
be wearing.
Where does he want the tattoo to be? Like right by their asshole so he knows if they've done
it's
it
like,
before?
You're like, whoa. I had no idea.
Oh, you're not a virgin. Pass.
Yeah, that's all right. The suggestion is contained in a series of comments on the internet blog of Reverend Peter Mullen. The Bishop of London today branded Mr. Mullen's comments highly offensive. Yeah, no shit, dude. And Stonewall, the gay rights charity, said he should resign. I'm thinking so, too. Mr. Mullen, 66, wrote on his blog, "It is time that religious believers began to recommend discouragements of homosexual practices after the styles of warnings on cigarette packets. What the fuck? So.
I've said what?
Basically, like, because, you know, on cigarette packets have the, you know, don't smoking, smoking can kill you.
Oh.
So that's how he's kind of equating it.
Oh,
you know, where the gay
yeah.
person is kind of like a cigarette packet, and like the warning you have on the cigarette package should also have a fucking warning on them.
What?
All right. Let us make it obligatory for homosexuals to have on their backsides. So on
what
that,
is he worried about?
Yeah, I bet he's probably kind of closeted.
Yeah.
All right. Let us make it obligatory for homosexuals to have on their backsides tattooed with the slogan "Sodomy can seriously damage your health," and on their oh no, it gets better, and on their chins with "Fellatio kills."
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. People are going to agree with that. What an idiot.
So,
I think he must have mental problems to think that this is normal, too.
Maybe this has to be a fucking joke, because
yeah.
that is just retarded. In the same blog, Mr. Mullen, who's also the rector of St. Michael's Cornhill and St. Sepulchre without Newsgate in the city, also calls for all gay pride parade, which he brands obscene, to be outlawed. In another internet posting, the rector wrote a poem condemning the blessing of two gay priests at a wedding, which the Reverend Martin Dudley performed at his church, St. Bartholomew in the Great, in the city. The poem begins, "The Bishop of London is in a high huff." Okay, so this is a... okay, it's a limerick. All right. "The Bishop of London is in a high puff, is in a high huff, because Dr. Dudley has married a puff. Not just one puff, he's married another, two priests, two puff, to each, no, maybe two, and either two other." All right, I'm bad at reading. "The ceremony, which took place in the summer, was roundly condemned by the Bishop of London, the Right Reverend Richard Chartles, as a breach of Church of England rules. But the bishop today also rebuked Mr. Mullen for his remarks. In a statement issued to the Evening Standard, a spokesman said, while clergy are entitled to their own personal views, we recognize that the content of this text is highly offensive and is in no way reflected of the views of the Diocese of London."
I don't really understand what the limerick was saying.
All right, let me just read it again. The Bishop of London, because he's referring to...
Can I read it?
All right. Starting from... And the poem begins.
Okay. "The Bishop of London is in a high huff because Dr. Dudley has married a puff. And not just one puff, he's married another. Two priests, two puffs, and either two other. And either to other."
People, they're talking to you. Something's going to go wrong.
I don't get it.
You want to choke the guy out. Support his arm so you can go underneath his armpit like this, and I step in. I grab and I squeeze everything together and watch. He will tap.
All right. Sorry. I had to see that guy one more time.
Okay. So when Mr. Reverend Peter Mullen was confronted with his comments yesterday at St. Michael's Cornhill, the rector deemed they were in jest. He said, "I wrote some satirical things on my blog, and anybody with an ounce of sense of humor, okay, or any understanding of the tradition of English satire would immediately assume that they're light-hearted jokes. I certainly have nothing against homosexuals. Many of my dear friends have been and are of that persuasion." Okay, so he's just joking.
It's just a bad joke. He thought it was funny.
"What have I got against them is the militant preaching of homosexuality." Nicole Beckley, who has been Mr. Mullen's parishioner for the past 10 years, said, "He's a great leader and doesn't cloud his views in political correctness."
But he's really bad at jokes.
Yes.
That, you know, because that, you know, as soon as I read the statement where he thinks that somebody should get fellatio kills on their chin if they're gay, I'm like, this has to be a joke. And it was. It's a bad joke. It's a really bad joke. And, you know, but should he be fired? I don't know. Should people be fired for bad tasteless jokes? If that's the case, fire me from this podcast. I can't be fired.
What? What are you saying?
I'm saying it was a bad joke.
Yeah, okay.
It's a bad joke. Tasteless, yes.
Well, okay. Like, say, for instance, if he was someone who was not a priest.
Yeah.
You know, and preaching the Christian whatever, then it might be...
You know, like if it was like a stand-up comic or...
Yeah, but like from his, you know, like he's a priest. So when he says something like that,
people kind of take it at face value.
Yeah.
All right.
And they think that, you know, he's preaching about the whole Sodom and Gomorrah and blah, blah, blah. Because there are people that think that what he's thinking.
Well, yeah, the Westboro Baptist Church. Remember that one documentary we watched about those crazy fuckers who have the signs who say...
gays must die.
Or, yeah, like shit like that. Like, God hates fags and shit like that.
Yeah.
So there are wackos like that.
Really, he's not the right person to make a joke like that.
Yeah, exactly. So think next time, guy. Really.
Yeah.
All right. Last story before we eat. Gmail. Let's see, you know, my email address. I'm going to read this technical story. Gmail is an online...
It's a technical story?
It's not really technical story, but you can get the humor out of this.
Well, because I don't use Gmail.
I know you use Hotmail, but...
so I don't really care.
But I care because this is a new feature which may benefit me. And it's funny, all right?
It's a new feature on the computer?
No, here... Okay.
Who cares?
Let me just read the story, all right?
Okay.
Here's the scenario. It's Friday night, and what began as an innocent happy hour margarita morphed into a few pitchers. After all, those tacos were salty. Where's the tacos?
Tacos.
Bidding friends adieu, you jump in a cab, head home, and decide a quick email check is in order. And there it is, a message from you from your ex, or your boss, or that friend you're secretly mad at. If you're the kind of person who types tipsy and regrets it in the morning... Google's Mail Goggles, a new test phrase feature in the free Gmail service, might save you some angst. The goggles can kick in late at night on weekends. The feature requires you to solve a few easy math problems in short order before hitting send. If your logical thinking skills are intact, Google is betting you're sober enough to work out the repercussions of sending out that screed you just drafted. So basically, it prevents you from... sending out drunk emails you might regret in the morning.
Okay, but so every single time that you send an email, you have to do this?
No.
Or this is just something that you put on so it's at night?
No, what you do is you set up like a window of time in advance, say, okay, I want it to kick
in. What if you're an alcoholic?
Then you just leave it on all the time, I guess. Then you got bigger problems than fucking sending emails if you're an alcoholic.
What if you're, like, better at math when you're drunk?
Oh, man, they didn't think of that.
Exactly.
Didn't think of that.
I used to drink in math class in high school.
What?
Sometimes.
On that note, you have been listening to Tip Tap, but I think we're going to wrap it up.
Because, you know, if you're drinking vodka, people can't smell it.
Like, you know, especially if you've done the vodka slurpee, which I did a few times. But
I just did vodka orange juice in my specialized sports bottle.
Specialized sports bottle, right.
I hated math. I know. It was the only way to make it fun.
By getting drunk. All right, let's hope your parents don't hear this, because there's a...
I didn't do it all the time. All
right. You turned out okay.
After I turned 18, like when I turned 18, I got drunk at high school, like when I was at school. And I'm like, well, this is kind of fun. This makes school more fun.
And you turned out so well. Anyways, you have been listening to Tip Tap Tip. If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can do so. 206-208-3918. Fire us off an email.
We would love you so much if you leave us a voicemail, because then we can stop playing Mr. Connor.
That's right. We can stop playing this.
Oh, this message is for Rochelle. It's Sean. We met a while back at Azerbaijan. We laughed casually about how you didn't have any Scottish in you. Let's rectify that. You've still got my card. Call me.
Make it stop.
You know what? Maybe somebody should leave Eric a message, because, you know, I'm so special. I've already gotten one.
Yeah, it's 1-0.
Be like,
somebody, please.
Hi, Eric. My name is Susie, and I think you sound like you're really sexy and stuff.
Are you gonna leave a message, Rochelle?
You're like my favorite person to listen to when I fall asleep at night, and then I dream about you.
You know the number. 206
Yeah, you'd be able to talk to me, though. 208-3918.
If you want to send us an email, do so info@tiptaptip.com. Check out our website. There's forums, there's store, tiptaptip.com. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle. Goodbye.
We're out of here. Bye.
Let me tell you first that I've been around. I've been a bouncer.